Hi, and welcome to the DeMartini Show. If you're a philosopher, an entrepreneur, a leader in business, or a holistic healer, therapist, or coach, and you're on a mission to master your life, make a difference, and leave a legacy, then this podcast, The DeMartini Show with Dr. John DeMartini, is going to take you on an inspired self-development journey. Dr. DeMartini has spent over 47 years researching what drives human behavior and the keys that help to maximize performance. The knowledge that he shares in these programs will help you to gain the advantage in all the different areas of your life. If you're new to the show, click the subscribe button so that we can notify you whenever we load new episodes. And if you love the content of this particular episode, then leave us a review. We'd really love to have your feedback. This week's episode addresses the subject of fear and takes a look at how fear is actually a feedback mechanism guiding you to empower your life. So Dr. DeMartini will show you how to interpret fear and how to use it as your guide, helping you to know when you're off center. So get ready for another information-packed, inspiring session with Dr. DeMartini. Enjoy.
Very commonly, I get asked by people around the world on what exactly is fear and how do we deal with it and is it a good thing, is it a bad thing? And the whole spectrum of responses are out there by different teachers. And it could be confusing. Some say it's the very path of your destiny. If you conquer your fear, you'll be fulfilling your soul's mission. Others say, no, you want to avoid all forms of fear. It's a sign to avoid things and go off on the easy path. I've seen a whole spectrum of ideas about fear, so I'd like to clarify it and put it into context, because in some contexts, all of them are accurate. In other contexts, it can be misleading. So first of all, I'm going to describe fear as an assumption that you're about to experience through your senses or imagination, more loss than gain, more negative than positive, more pain than pleasure, more disadvantage than advantage, more risk than reward from somebody or yourself in the future. And so it's an assumption you're about to get some negative experience, you might say. Now, fear has its opposite. So I'm going to describe that. Now, fear has another name called phobia. Its opposite has been called through the ages philia. Some people call it a fantasy, and phobia, a nightmare. But I'm just going to put this into context and elaborate on this. I think you'll get a kick out of it. You might want to pull out some paper and actually write along with me. I want you to imagine a magnet down here with a positive and negative pole. And if you try to cut that magnet in half, you get a positive, negative pole and a positive, negative pole. If you cut those in half, you get a positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative. No matter how many times you slice the magnet up, you get both sides. In our mind, believe it or not, we have the same thing. And there's a beautiful analogy in the magnet, really into human psychology. If we assume in the future with our imagination or our senses that we're going to get more positive than negative about to happen, we have what is called a philia. If we assume there's going to be more negatives and positives in the future, we have a phobia. Phobia is another name for fear. The philia is sometimes called a fantasy, as I said. And the phobia is sometimes called a nightmare. One won't occur without the other. They're inseparable like two poles of a magnet. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you walk down the street, you run into this individual, you're a man, single, and you run into this beautiful woman, or a woman, single, and run into this beautiful man, handsome man. And you get a little bit enamored by it, and you get infatuated with that. By the way, that's another name for this, infatuation. And this one could be almost resentment, the opposite. So what happens is, you could actually have run into somebody that you're infatuated with. If you're infatuated, that means you're conscious of the upsides and unconscious of the downsides. So I'll put that here, conscious of the positives and unconscious of the negatives. And over here, you're conscious of the negatives and unconscious of the positives. So if you're infatuated with somebody and philic towards them and attracted to them, you'll create a fantasy about what's going to happen when you're with that individual. And when you do, The second you do a fantasy towards them, you're going to create the fear of loss. So I'm going to call that the fear of loss. So if you get highly infatuated, extremely infatuated, you have an extreme fear of loss. That can lead to jealousy. That can lead to anxiety about them leaving you, this type of thing. But on the other side, if you have you perceive somebody that you resent and you really are turned off by them and avoid them, then what happens is you actually have a fear of gain. Here you have now the fear of gain. So I'd like to just describe here, there are two sources of fear in a human experience. The fear of loss of that which you seek, and the fear of gain of that which you try to avoid. That goes down into what we call the amygdala area, the desire center in our brain. And we have in the desire center a desire for food, prey, in our animal nature, and a desire to avoid predator. Because the prey is anabolic, we can eat it, it gives us sustenance. The predator can eat us, break us down catabolically. So the fear of loss of the prey, which is starvation, and the fear of gain of the predator, which is being eaten in death, those are the two basic fears that underlie all fears that we experience. Anything in our life that we perceive that supports what we value most in life is perceived as prey, and we're going to fear the loss of it. Anything that challenges what we value most in life is going to be perceived as predator, and we fear the gain of it. So our animal nature, in a sense, the desire centers of this subcortical area they call the amygdala, is living trying to avoid pain and seek pleasure, avoiding phobias and try to seek philias. But in the process of doing it, the more we infatuate with something and have a philia about it, we fear its loss, and the more we resent something, we fear its gain. So both of those poles have both. In other words, if we have a predator coming at us, and we fear the gain of the predator, we have the fantasy and the infatuation of getting away. And if we are infatuated with the prey, we have the fear of losing it. So you can't separate the two. They're like two poles of a magnet. So there's no such thing as a phobia without a philia or a philia without a phobia. They're inseparably entangled together like two poles of a magnet or two quantum particles. Either way, we could see it that way. They're quantumly entangled. Well, that was supposed to be a straight line there. Now, right down the center, where we embrace the positive and the negative equally, in that state, if we're completely neutral, that means we're not infatuated, we don't fear its loss. If we're not resentful, we don't fear its gain. So right down the center, we automatically have, in a sense, a neutral state. This is sometimes called objectivity. Objectivity means non-biased, non-partial, non-polarized, non-opinionated, but a neutral state where you have a completely balanced state of mind. This objective state, where we're not emotional, but we're actually reasonable, as we neutralize our emotions and go into this reasonable state, we actually get to a point where we don't have this fear of loss or fear of gain. Now, let's say that anything that supports our value, and I'm going to put over here, anything that the support is greater than the challenge to our values. Here, the challenge is greater than the support to our values. So if we actually see something that balances where the support equals the challenge, this is where we're in a state of objectivity, and we have the least amount of fear. We dissolve our fear. Now, this is a conditional state. This is a condition of the mind. This is a condition of the mind. And this is in an unconditioned state of the mind, unconditioned. Some people like to say that the unconditional state is a balance between these two. Now, that's the mean between the pairs of opposites. That's the path of meaning in life. Viktor Frankl, when he's talked about in search of meaning, it's finding the meaning of things. Finding the meaning of things means that when you're infatuated with something, you're conscious of the upsides, your intuition is trying to bring out the unconscious, which is the downsides, to bring it back into the mean. And when you're conscious of the downsides and unconscious of the upsides, your intuition is trying to bring the unconscious to bring you see the upsides of things to bring it back into the mean. That's extracting meaning out of these emotional polarities. The moment you have the mean down here, this center, and extract meaning, We could say it's an unconditional state. And some people like to stay, and I'm going to use an analogy here or an acronym, the state of unconditioned love, the soul. So if we perceive that breaking through and dissolving the fantasies and the nightmares, the philias and the phobias, the seeking and the avoiding process of our mind, and integrate those and go after true objectives in our life, the path, if you state the state of unconditional love, where you're doing something you really love to do, then we could say breaking through fear as a path of the soul has meaning. Some people have arrived at that, but it has to be put into context. Now, the soul is the synthesis of opposites, in other words. So if you're infatuated with somebody, you're attracted to them. If you're repelled from somebody, you obviously push them away. The balance of the two is what makes love. Love is always the synthesis, the pair of opposites synthesized synchronously at the same time in a perfect balance. When you love somebody, you're going to have times when you like and dislike. They're going to go back and forth, the like and dislike components. But to love somebody is to embrace both of them equally synchronously. So we could say that our fear is letting us know that we have a polarized perspective, and if we actually neutralize it, it is actually a pathway of our soul, if you will, pathway of our most authentic self.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life-transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now, let's continue with this episode.
Now let's impose something on there that I'm probably more known for, and that is the value applications. I've written a lot and written a book called The Values Factor. I talk about values. I'd like you to imagine that we have a set of lines here, and we're going to put 7 lines here. And up at the top, we're going to call this the highest value. And down below, we're going to call this the lowest value. And there's a series of values in between. Whenever we live by our highest value, when we are intrinsically inspired spontaneously from within to go and fulfill it, and we can't wait to get up and do that, we're more objective and we move in this direction. So whenever we live by priority and live by the highest value, we automatically go in the path of the soul. When we do, we have more objectivity. Objectivity neutralizes the polarities that breed the fear of loss and the fear of gain. So if we go in there and ask questions that our intuition is trying to reveal, we can actually transcend our fantasies and our nightmares, our philias and our phobias, and actually follow the path of a neutral path, which in a sense is the term ambition. Ambi means two-sidedness. A condition of two-sidedness is what ambition meant. An individual that automatically integrates these two has a higher ambition and a higher directionality in life than a person that's trying to pull in this direction. Imagine if you're trying to go in one-sided direction. You're trying to get a magnet that's positive without negative. In Buddhism, there was a statement that says, the desire for that which is unavailable, the fantasy, and the desire to avoid that which is unavoidable, the nightmare, is a source of human suffering. Why? Because if we go out looking for a fantasy, we're going to have the fear of loss and we breed the fear. If we go off in this direction or try to avoid this direction, we keep running into it. So either of these two poles by themselves are incomplete. And running your life by trying to avoid pain and try to seek pleasure is a futile attempt. Nature has a way of making sure that we have pleasure and pain, or the positives and the negatives and everything else, balanced. Like I said, you don't get a half of a magnet, you get a balanced magnet. So we're going to automatically live in fear the second we set up fantasies. Now let me give an example of that. If I say that I want to go and be in a relationship that has got all positives, no negatives, all kind, no cruel, all nice, no mean, all give, no take, all support, no challenge, all peace, no war. I have a fantasy. And the moment I have that as an expectation, my brain, with its intuition, is going to reveal the unconscious part, and it's going to create an anxiety for fear of losing that. And why? Because the brain knows that's not a true objective. It's a fantasy. And the brain has a wisdom and knows in its executive center, not the amygdala, but the executive center, knows when something's a fantasy, and it basically whispers the unconscious to you, which lets you know the downside, which we have anxiety and fear. So we can create automatically a fear of something in the goals that we set if they're fantasies. We automatically say, well, I'm going to go and do this thing, and we exaggerate it in time or exaggerate it in magnitude in space or set up something that's only one-sided. We automatically, in our brain, automatically create a fear to let us know that we're pursuing a fantasy. We're trying to get to one side. So the more our brain is looking for a pleasure without a pain, the more our brain points out the pains. That's why our executive center in the forebrain is designed to take fantasies and turn them into true objectives. And it's designed to make sure that your intuition is used to make sure that you're thinking of the downsides along with the upsides. One of the wisest things you can do is ask, what is it the goal you have? What obstacles might you run into, and how do you solve in advance? The purpose of the executive center in the brain is to take the fantasies where you're blinded and only see the upsides and don't see the downsides, and think in advance what they can be and be prepared for them, so you're not reactive when they occur, you're proactive. So your phobia is your friend when you're pursuing fantasies, because it's letting you know that you have pursued something that's not authentic and it's not objective and it's not grounded. So in other words, your phobia is not necessarily a bad thing. It's letting you know that you're searching for a fantasy, which then gives you the fear of loss, and you're perceiving something that's got more negatives than positives because you're addicted to its opposite and trying to run away from it. And every time you search for a fantasy to avoid pain or a fantasy to get pleasure without pain, you're automatically going to have phobia come up. So phobia is your friend to let you know you're not setting real objectives. It's trying to help you break through the illusions of the fantasies that you're pursuing and get you onto an objective which has both sides. Imagine, again, having a relationship with somebody that's only one side. It's not going to happen. But if you understand that a human being has a set of values, and when you support the values, they can be nice. When you challenge the values, they can be mean. And to expect them to have nice and mean moments, and to love the individual for both sides, which we all want to be loved for, if we pursue a real objective, the individual as they really are, and love them in a sense without those conditions of one-sidedness, and we can love them unconditionally in that moment, we don't have this fear coming up. We're neutral, and we embrace the person, and we can get that out of an individual. But if you're expecting somebody to be one-sided and you expect a fantasy, you're automatically going to be let down, and you're automatically going to have your intuition bring up a fear to let you know you're pursuing a fantasy. So that fear is coming up in your mind to help you break addictions to fantasies and to help you go into true objectives. So fear is your friend when it's put into context. But it can also be apparently an assumed enemy if you're looking for a pleasure without a pain. So when people go and try to do a positive thinking, and they try to go, I just want to focus on the positive, never want to think about the negatives and just focus on the positive, fear is going to haunt them constantly because they're going to be searching for fantasies. But if they're somebody that's more grounded and they're more interested in what's real and what's more objective, then fear is going to be seen as a feedback to make sure that you're setting real goals, real objectives in real times that are balanced. Because the truth is, life is going to give you both sides. You're not going to get a one-sided outcome. And by the way, if you're infatuated with somebody or something, you'll tend to minimize yourself to them and feel you're too humble to admit what you see in them is inside you. And then you'll want to change, you'll inject their values into your life, and you'll try to live in their values. And if you resent somebody, and by the way, that's futile, trying to live in other people's values. And if you resent somebody, you'll be too proud to admit what you see in them is inside you. And you're going to want to change them relative to you, which is also futile. And being around them when you're trying to change them and then they don't change is a fear of gain. And being around somebody that you fear the loss of because you're not living up to the expectations is also a fear. So every time you judge and have a subjective bias and you have a conscious and unconscious split, you're going to have fear. You're also going to have the fantasy or the philia that goes with it. But the second you see both sides and embrace both sides and set true objectives by living by your highest values and having foresight and planning and seeing both sides, you can actually dissolve the impact that the philias and the phobias have on your path. So fear can be seen in proper context, is a vehicle to break through by breaking through the fantasies that go with it. By seeing both sides at the same time and having a true objective, you can transcend the phobias and the philias of your life and get on with something that's truly meaningful and truly an objective. So I just want to just take that time to go over those. And by the way, there's many different types of fears. You can have the fear of loss of loved ones. You can have the fear of loss of knowledge or fear of not knowing knowledge. The fear of failure in business, the fear of loss of money or not making money, the fear of rejection, the fear of ill health, death, or disease, or the fear of somehow breaking the morals and ethics of some spiritual authority. But all of those are built out of the fantasies that if you have those things, life will be happier. And the addiction to happiness is part of the cause for the sadness. The addiction to the fantasy is what causes the nightmare. I always say that the depression that you have in your lives, if you ever have a down moment, the depression is a comparison of your current reality to some fantasy that you're addicted to, because they come as pairs. As long as you're addicted to the fantasy of a positive without a negative, your life intuitively has to bring up the negative without a positive to counterbalance it, to make you associate with that fantasy, that fear, and that pain, to try to break that addiction. So our fantasy of one-sidedness and an extreme rigid judgments of absolute perceptions of positive or negative adds to our fear in our life. But if we actually live by our highest values and live by priority and we go up into our objective centers of the brain and start seeing both sides and set goals that are both sides, we actually transcend the fear, break through the fear, if you will, and fulfill what we could call our soul's mission.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.